How you guys doing? For all the visitors that are here, my name is Jerry, and I'm doing the teaching this week, and we're doing a short series basically to highlight things that we think are different about our church from other churches you might have been in, you might have experienced in the past. Okay? I'm teaching today about the idea of transformed lives, because really, this is really the purpose of our church and how we live our lives, the fact that God transforms our lives. And we'll, as we see as we go through the teaching, He transformed us when we got saved. When we meet Jesus, He transforms us. But it doesn't stop there. He continues to transform us, to change us throughout our life, until ultimately, the ultimate transformation is when we go to be with Him in heaven. Okay? So that's what we're going to be looking at today. And I'm going to be centering it on this idea, this verse, 2 Corinthians 3:18. It says, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit." And this scripture really embodies the whole idea of transformation and what that means. For one thing, the idea of transformation and the word transformed in this verse, the Greek word is a word that we're familiar with here in America because it's metamorphosis, right? Metamorphosis is when things change, right? Here's an example. That's a monarch caterpillar. Okay? If anybody has any milkweed growing in their yard, they probably... If you're lucky, you would have seen one of these. I have milkweed growing in my yard, so I see them. But it doesn't stay a caterpillar, right? It turns into a butterfly, a monarch butterfly. Now, if you look at those two things, the caterpillar and the butterfly, they look nothing. There's nothing common in there. It's a complete change, right? The caterpillar is one thing, and it morphs into a butterfly, right? And it's the same way when we encounter the true God. It's the same way we come to God one way, and after we meet with Him, we are completely different. We can't even recognize ourselves because of what Jesus did on the cross. Because He died on the cross, we come to Him, we have a relationship with God, and He changes us immediately so that we look nothing like we did before. And this is the idea of being transformed, because God changes lives. Yeah. He's in the business of changing lives. Yeah. I'm going to get all off of my outline, because I'm going to keep on talking. All right? There's one other place where this word, there's a couple other places where this word is used, but it's not used that much in the New Testament. Here's another place where it's used, and the word transfigured in this verse is the same word, and talking about Jesus when He went up on the mount, and He says He was transfigured before them, talking about James, John, and Peter. He was transfigured before them, and His face shone like the sun, and His garments as white as light. So He went up on the mountain to meet with God. Jesus did. And while He met with God, and He was transformed from the person who was living in the wilderness, right? His clothes were dirty, right? His face was dirty. His hair was dirty, right? From living to somebody whose face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white like the sun. That's a transfiguration. Just to give you an example of that word. God's purpose is to change people. That's what His business is. He wants to change people. Romans 6:4 says, "We are then buried with Him through baptism into His death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead to the glory of the Father, we also should walk in newness of life." That's the purpose of God, that we would walk in newness of life, because we need to. Without God, we're lost. Without God, we are destined for hell. Without God, we can't live. God's purpose in drawing us to Him is so that we would walk in newness of life. In other words, we would live a new life. Just like the butterfly lives a new life from the caterpillar. That's His purpose. That's what He wants. That's His job. That's what He's about. And that's what we believe He's about here at New Life Church. That's what He wants from us. This transformation begins at salvation. John 3:3. Jesus answered. This is where Jesus is having a discussion with a Pharisee named Nicodemus. And He says to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." It's the idea of being born again, being reborn, because the old life has to go and the new life has to start. That's the transformation that God wants to bring in our lives, to be born again. And we'll see later on, God is the one who does the work. God is the one who changes us. God is the one who initiates that. All He asks is that we come to Him and be transformed. And 1 Peter 1. Oh, yeah, here you go. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." I put this verse on here because it indicates that God caused us to be born again. When we come to Him, He changes us. He calls us to be born again because we need to be born again. You know why? Because we are all sinners. We all carry around, we all have problems. None of us can live righteously before God. None of us can be the people that, we can't even be the people that we want to be.
Right.
You know what I mean? We can't even change ourselves, right? How many people out here have trouble losing weight? Something as simple as that. We can't do that. Now, I'm not saying God's going to help you lose weight, you know. Maybe the weight of sin or guilt. But we are helpless human beings. I mean, we don't even realize how weak we are until we come to God and realize we can't do anything without Him. This is what He wants to do this is what He wants to do with us. He wants to transform us from those weak human beings to people who live for Him, to people who are sold out for Him, who walk in newness of life. We need to be transformed. We need that. God is the one who does doing the transforming work. John 1 says, "But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." This is John's describing the whole idea we were talking about before of being born again. And he's explaining it in chapter 1, how that happens. It happens because of God's work. And God's work in changing our lives, in calling us to Him, and causing us to be born again. Something actually happens inside of us when we come to God. Something is made alive that is dead. The spirit that is dead inside us is made alive, and we are born, we are changed. It's an incredible thing. It's a spiritual thing. But God wants to do that for us. That's His desire. Like 2 Corinthians 3:18, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as the Lord, the Spirit." This is our passage. We are being transformed from the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. In other words, the Lord, the Spirit, is doing the work of transforming. Okay. Now this is more of a talking about the progressive transformation that we go through as we live our lives, but it's still the work of God that does the transforming, right? All we have to do is go along with it, and we'll see later on where we have choices to make, and we have to allow Him to do that. But He wants to change us, and this is the purpose of why we're here in this church. Because all of us here who have been members have experienced transformation, right? We all can attest that this is true, that God changes lives because we have all been changed
Amen.
And I think that's one of the exciting parts of being a part of the family of God.
Yeah.
That's one of the parts where you're most intimately in connection with God. Because you know that he is at work in your life. And you see how he works in your life. And you see how he works in the lives of your brothers and sisters. So it's not just everybody coming to church on Sunday looking the same as you did a year ago. Looking the same as you did 5 years ago. It's a continued transformation. And we love that. You know? And that's what we're about. He's the only one that could change us. If we could have changed ourselves, we would have done it already. Right? If we could have changed, we would have done it. But we can't change ourselves. Not in this way. I mean, we can learn things, you know. We can take a class in beekeeping and learn how to be a beekeeper, you know. But we're not changing our lives. Right? Only God can do that. The purpose of God changing us is to make us look more like His Son. To make us look more like Jesus. Romans 8. For those He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom He predestined, He called. These whom He called, He also justified. These whom He justified, He also glorified. So the purpose of God transforming us is to make us look more like Jesus. Jesus, when He came to earth and lived on this earth, both God and man, He lived a perfect life. He never broke one of the laws of God. He never sinned. He lived a perfect life for His Father. And He ended up in obedience to His Father, giving His life on the cross so that we can also live that type of life. He paid the price for our sins so that we can come to God. He redeemed us from the life that we were in by giving His life on the cross to bring us to God so that we can have a relationship with God the way it was originally meant to be. And now God is working in us through His Holy Spirit to make us look like Jesus.
Yeah.
Right? And the more we learn about Jesus, the more we want to look like Him.
Yeah.
And this is the motivation for us wanting to be transformed, because we want to look that way. But the purpose of God is so that we would look more like His Son. As a result of being made to look more like Jesus, we are able to live a life that is worthy of His sacrifice. Ephesians 4:1 says, "Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called." Those of us here, those of us who are believers, have been called, and the more we As we learn to live live in a way that reflects the work of God in our lives, we show the worth of the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross for us. We walk in a manner worthy of that. We show the value of the work that God has done in our lives through how we live our lives, through the transforming work of God, through the way He changes us. Also in 1 Thessalonians, "Just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each of you as a father would his own children, so that you would walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into His own kingdom and glory." Saying pretty much the same thing, but Paul adds in this verse, "called us into His own kingdom and glory." He calls us into His family. Into His family. And this is the idea of being transformed. This is the idea of being changed as God transforms our lives. I said before, this transformation is both instantaneous and progressive. When we encounter Jesus, we are immediately transformed. We are changed from a person who was dead in Christ to a person who is alive in Christ, and that's a great transformation. And you know, it's the idea of being, we talked about before, being born again, and that happens immediately. Colossians 1:13 puts it like this. I love how this verse puts it. He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. We probably don't even realize it at the time when we're unbelievers that we live in the domain of darkness. We live in a place where the darkness controls us. We live in a place where we have no choice but to give in to the darkness. The sinful desires that are inside of us, they control us, and we have to give in. We follow that. But he transfers us out of the domain of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son, where we can walk in the light with him. And that's a great thing. That's a wonderful thing that he does. So that we can see the darkness. Mm-hmm. We can see it now. Right? But we live in the light. And this is the instantaneous transformation that happens when we come to Jesus. This happens immediately. It's the idea of being born again, being changed, being made alive in Christ, which we'll see right now. Ephesians 2, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins. This is a description of us before we came to Jesus. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. It says we were dead because there was, and it's not like we were mostly dead. No, if we were dead, like we had no control. We're spiritually dead. In which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. That was controlling our lives and our choices. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. That's a good description of who we were, right? That's who we were. Verse 4 says, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. But God came into our lives and made us alive. He gave us life. He gave us new life. And that is the greatest transformation we could experience at the hand of God. And it's what a wonderful thing. But understand, it's not, you know, it's completely the work of God. And God comes into our lives and changes us. He makes us alive. As we grow in him, we continue to be transformed day by day. This is our verse again. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord. I believe that when he says from glory to glory, indicates the incremental change that we go through. When we get saved, when we're transformed, God doesn't immediately change everything in our lives. You know what I mean? It's a day-to-day change. And it's a day-to-day transformation that we experience. And I think that's great because it makes life so exciting. What is God going to do? When you know this, it's one thing. When you believe that God does this, you know, and we believe it because those of us who have been living this way have seen it happen. So we trust that it's going to happen. You wake up every day, what is God going to do today? Right? We come to church every week here. Mike, in the family time, that's what we're sharing about. What did God do in your life this week? You know? And we get to hear from our brothers and sisters how God changed their lives, how God worked in their lives. And we grow that way. You know? It's a really exciting way to live. It's some churches, a lot of churches out there, they don't have that life in them. You know, people come every week and they sit in their pews and they go home and that's it for their life. You know, they don't have the life. They don't experience the transformation because there's no life in that church. But that's not true here. I mean, and we're small in number, right? Right? There's not many members here, which doesn't bother us because that's all part of God's plan. He's in charge of how many people we have here, right? But the people we have here are people that are dedicated to the transformed lives, dedicated to seeing God transform our lives and the lives of our brothers and sisters. And in some ways, we participate in that. In some ways, we minister to one another. We are examples to one another, right? We fellowship with one another, and through fellowship, we experience changing each other. This is a great thing to belong to God.
Amen.
It's a great thing to believe in His promises. Right? It's a great thing to know His promises and know that every one of His promises is true.
Yes.
And to take Him at His word.
Amen.
Ephesians 4. So this I say, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind. Gentiles here is just another name for unbelievers, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart, and they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity and greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught in Him, just as truth is in Jesus. Truth is in Jesus.
Amen.
That in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of the deceit, and that you, being renewed in the spirit of your mind, put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness and truth. This is how we experience the. This is the part we play in working hand in hand in the transforming life with God. We do that every day in our choices, the choices we make. We lay aside the old self, and we put on the new self. What I mean by that is, as God works in your life to change your life, you make the choices to put off what He is telling you to put off. In other words, He's telling you to put off lying, to put off gossip, to put off sexual immorality, that type of thing. As the Spirit works in your life to point that out, you put that off. In other words, you say no to that. It's a choice. We say no to that. When we do that, we put on the godliness of God. We put on holiness. We put on right thinking. We put on speaking truth. We put on caring for one another. We put on purity in our thoughts. Okay? This is the idea. And this is how both we experience the transformation, but we also play a part in that. This is how we do it. This is a very practical way how it is done. We put off the old self, we put on the new self. And this is a daily occurrence for us. This is a daily exercise for us. But through this way we are transformed. We are changed. And it's the work of God, but we're working in conjunction with God. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, that's our word again, by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, so that which is good and acceptable and perfect. In the same way, as we grow, as God's transforming us, our thinking needs to change. Not only our choices, our actions, but our thinking needs to change. Our thinking needs to, in this verse, Paul the Apostle Paul is comparing it to being conformed to the world. Because the world, like we saw in Ephesians 2 that we saw before, the world is being corrupted in accordance with the lust, in accordance with being under the control of the prince of the power of the air and that sort of thing. But we're not following what the world says, because the world is not under the control of God. Well, it's under control, but it's against God, godly thinking. So rather than being controlled by that, we are transforming our thinking to line up more with what godly thinking. So that in this way our mind is transformed, the way we think, so that we don't think the way that we used to. And God changes us. God changes our thinking through that. So in just the same way that our actions or our choices are transformed, in this way our thinking, our mind is transformed, so that we can live in this way. And the ultimate transformation will come about when we enter the heavenly realm to live with Him forever. Philippians 3:20-21. For our citizenship is in heaven. When you come to God, our citizenship is in heaven. Remember that. Our citizenship is not here on earth. Right? We are strangers and aliens here. Let me give you an example, okay? I was just thinking about that this morning. Most of you guys know where my house is, right? Right? You know, just east of my house, there's a wooded area, right? And it's a nice wooded area, right? There's, squirrels and birds live in there. There's a great horned owl that lives in there, and we hear him every once in a while. Well, somebody wants to build a 140-unit apartment building on that spot. Okay? And I got a letter because it's right next to my house, and the planning board's going to have a hearing, and I was thinking, maybe I should go and say, yeah, well, I don't want a 140-unit apartment building next to my house, because whatever. But the house that I live in is temporary. The house that I live in is not really my home. You know what I mean? The house that I live in, I'm only here for a short time. How long am I going to be here? Another 20 years maybe? You know? The house that I live in is not where I'm going to reside the rest of my life. Okay? Because my citizenship is in heaven. And that's not just a nice thing to say. That is the truth of God. My citizenship is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. So why would I get involved in trying to stop? Who cares if they build a 140-unit apartment building next to my house? You know what I mean? I mean, I don't like it. I don't have to like it. Right? But I don't, who cares? Do what you want. I'm going to heaven. That's my perspective. That's our citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven. So who cares about your coworker giving you, coworker giving you a hard time. I don't know if you got to put up with that, but this is my point, We have a better life. Yes. We have a better home. Yes. We have a better world that we're going to. That's where our citizenship is. Our citizenship is in heaven. And you know why I think that way? Because God has transformed my thinking. Because I didn't always think that way. I remember thinking, wait a minute, it'd be very easy for me to go to that planning board meeting and tell them, you shouldn't do this because whatever, I don't want it. The birds, the squirrels, the great horned owl. But does it really matter? The whole world's going to burn. My house, the 140-unit apartment building, it's all going to burn. And I'll be in heaven. which will be better than the house I live in now.
Amen.
All right, anyway. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm waiting for my Savior to come and take me home.
Yeah.
We are waiting for our Savior to come and take us home, who will transform the body of our humble state. These bodies, this is a humble state, right? We all know that we carry around these bodies, and some of us have serious problems, right, with these bodies, right? So some of us know we have some serious problems with these bodies. This is a humble body, right? We are weak. We get sick, right? We have to take care of them. We have to maintain them, or they're going to break down. But he will transform physically our body. We will no longer be allergic to everything. You know what I mean? We will no longer feel the pain. Right? We will no longer deal with the cancer. Or whatever. He will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory. We will be given a new body. That's the final transformation. We will be given a new body like him, a glorified body. I don't even know what that's going to look like. I don't know. I don't know if we'll look the same, if you guys will look the same. Just better. He will do this by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. Jesus has the power. And one day, we will be transformed completely. All right? So God transforms lives. He transformed us when we came to him. He's continuing to transform us. And one day, the ultimate transformation will occur. Okay? So I don't know where you guys are with this, but here's what I would say. If you guys don't know Jesus, and you're here because he called you here, I would say talk to somebody about that today. Now is the time. Now is the time to do it. You're here. Okay? If you do know Jesus, where are you in the transformation? Is he transforming you? Are you allowing him to transform you? Are you taking advantage of the transforming work in your life that he is performing? To change you, to look more like Jesus, to look more like him. Where are you with that? If anybody needs to talk to me, you can talk to me. Yeah. If anybody wants to talk to somebody else, that maybe the person who invited you, if you just walked in, there's plenty of people to talk to, right? But God wants to change your life. Mm-hmm. I can honestly say that about everybody here, including myself. Mm-hmm. God wants to change your life. He wants to transform you. Mm-hmm. All right? Do any of the brothers have any questions? Nope. Okay, good. That's it. Thanks for listening.